had sex in mama's cocoon.
850 The Buzz. Good morning, everybody. You are tuned to Computers 2K7 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. I'm Amnon, your host for the next 2 hours, along with, oh, there's nobody here. It's just Shannon and me.
Good morning.
And he's tired. What'd you do yesterday?
I actually drove straight here from Virginia.
What'd you do in Virginia?
Well, my family's up there. So.
Oh, okay, so not work.
Yeah, so I just came straight in. So I woke up at about, 3 in the morning? I had the extra hour, but it doesn't feel like it at all. So after my first three cups of coffee, I should be good.
Gave you a free hour.
Yeah.
And there was nothing you can do about it.
Not a bit. But it's okay.
What a shame.
Yeah, I know. It's all right. Like I said, once I get, okay, maybe my first 4 cups of coffee, I'll be good. For at least the first.
Well, we fixed another pot.
Okay, good.
So just don't bother even put it in a cup.
No problem. I'll just guzzle it right now. Matter of fact, I'm going to start taking it intravenously. I'm just going to go ahead and put it right in. Yep.
Our number is 860-0850, star 850, and pound 850 on your cell phone. And these are free calls. Yeah, Spence is down in Florida somewhere diving. And Jim is also in Florida, as a matter of fact, for somebody's wedding, nephew. So, but you're not going to have, hopefully you're not going to have to listen to me the whole 2 hours. I want to hear from you. And also, Larry Dial's supposed to be here. I think our messages kind of got crossed and he's a little bit delayed, let's put it this way. So hopefully we'll hear from him soon and he'll know where we are. Anyway, so I want to hear from you. And our number again, 850, star 850, and pound 850 on your cell phone.
And tell them not to worry about it because these are free calls.
These are free calls. Yeah. Nobody needs to worry about that.
If not, I'll make sure you pay for them.
Absolutely. You make sure I'll pay for them.
Yeah, I'll make sure you pay for them.
I give you the checkbook, right? Credit card?
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Okay.
All right. I'm shopping on eBay right now.
You know, we always talk about phishing schemes on the internet, and these always mean that you get emails that you have to reply to. Well, now they have a new way of doing it. All they do is give you a phone number and say, you need to call. I got one of them on Friday, and I decided to call just for the heck of it. So sure enough, it comes up, and the email is formatted perfectly. We'll never ask for any personal information in an email. We won't ask you for this in an email. So please call this number. And it's I can't remember if it was an 800 number. I don't think so. But anyway, I called, and a regular, normal voicemail system came on and asked you to put your card number in. So I just punched some numbers. It says, enter your expiration date. And at that point, you know that that's, you know, this is what, even if you did not know that it was a scam, if they ask you to put your expiration date, it's a scam because they know the expiration date. And I did that, and then it asked for the PIN number, and I did that. I mean, all just fictitious numbers. And it went, and it asked you to put the PIN number again to verify and all that. It was very, I mean, it sounded very real. And then it thanked you, and it says, your car is activated. So be careful. I mean, since then, I've got a few from other customers at Delta Force who got these things and were asking me. So we figured out a way how to stop them. But if anybody, any of you gets any of these messages, any of these emails that says that you need to call this number, it's a scam. Let's go talk to Paul. Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
Well, sun is shining. NC State's winning. Navy beats Notre Dame.
Did State win, Shannon?
Oh, yeah. Oh, very much by the hair of our chinny chin chins.
So what's up?
Two questions.
Yeah.
In this modern day of time of umpteen different virus scanners and so forth,
yeah.
How does Norton rank today amongst all the others?
In my opinion?
Yes.
Bottom of the barrel.
Really?
The reason why I'm saying this, and I'm sure it does work, but let me put it this way. I see a lot of computers come across my bench, and many of them, most of them, are because of viruses and spyware.
Okay.
And I would say that 95% of them have Norton on them.
Okay. Now, there is a product called Trend, T-R-E-N-D.
Yeah, Trend is very good.
It is.
But why do you want to spend money?
Well, no, this is something that we already have. We paid an IT consultant to set up our network.
So this is for the business.
Yeah, and he disabled Norton. Each of us had our own individual Nortons. He disabled all those and set us up on Trend.
Absolutely, I agree. I mean, this is a good consultant. But
okay.
I would completely remove Norton. Don't just disable it. Remove it.
Well, I think he did.
Trend is one of the best ones.
Okay. Well, I guess that answers my question, dude. Good morning to you.
Well, I thought you said two questions. That was one.
Well, the first one was Norton, and yeah. I guess the second one was about the Trend, and you're saying that's a good product.
He done good by you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Right. All right, let's. I want to talk to Marshall, but let's see, Marshall.
Hello.
Morning.
Good morning. I have two questions.
Two questions.
First one is, am I going to have to listen to you for 2 hours?
No, guess who's going to be here?
Who's that?
Larry Dial.
Wow. Blast from the past.
Yep.
And the second question, I'll try to make it short and sweet as possible. I'm hoping some of your listeners may have an answer to this. I'm trying to buy an external hard drive that has a OneTouch type system to it. I know Maxtor has them out under the brand name OneTouch. And I have a Maxtor external drive, but I have to sit there and tell it what I want to back up.
A OneTouch or a
no? Record? I have an external hard drive that I have to sit and tell which files or which folders to back up.
Right.
And that gets tedious sometimes. So I'm trying to find something that the OneTouch sounded great because I could hit the button, leave, and it'll take care of backing it up. And that's easier to do on a daily basis than to have to sit there and tell it each file to back up each time.
So every time you have to sit and tell, there's no software that came with it that lets you configure it and then just start the program?
That's right. And this drive's probably 2 or 3 years old, this external. So I wasn't expecting necessarily software. The OneTouch systems that I've looked at, and I'm very confused because it's very difficult to get the information, believe it or not, off the Internet from doing some research. I spent about an hour. The OneTouch systems appear just to make a backup of the entire drive. And what was concerning was that they indicated that it didn't necessarily back up, as an example, your Outlook files, which are very important to me. Nor could you go in and then retrieve certain files or folders. You would have to restore the entire drive. So ultimately, what I'm trying to do is see if there's any sort of either a OneTouch system or software you can use with a OneTouch system that will, with the hit of a button, back up the entire drive in a manner that will then allow you to go back and restore either a file or a folder only, not having to restore the entire drive.
Right.
And if there is additional software that you should find elsewhere to use with the OneTouch. And then the second question deals with the OneTouch themselves. There are several. There's a OneTouch 3, a OneTouch 4, and a Mini, and it all gets really confusing. And, of course, nobody in the stores can really intelligently tell you the differences between them and which one is the best. So I'm hoping somebody out there has done some research and dealt with this and knows which is the best OneTouch system to get and can make a recommendation.
All right. I tell you what. Why don't you hold on? Shan, can you put Marshall on hold? We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about this. Welcome back to Computers 2K7 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our numbers again, 860-0850, star at 50 and pound at 50 on your cell phone. Let's have Marshall. Marshall.
Yes, sir.
So,
do you remember me?
I think I do. Is this the late Larry Dial?
Yes. Yes. Back from
No, God forbid.
Hi, how are you, Marshall?
Pretty good. How are you?
I just wandered in from another radio station location that I was at. He forgot to tell me where you were, you know, where it had been moved. So
he expects you to know a lot of stuff most people shouldn't know on their own.
That's right.
So anyway, so you were what you found out through your research is that the OneTouch will only do the whole drive or nothing?
I don't know about or nothing, but it seems to do the whole drive. It doesn't allow you to, let's say I pick or select certain files that you want backed up every day. At least the software that comes with it doesn't. And there were no references to other software that you can get or use with it that would allow you to configure it. Let's say you wanted to back up certain folders every day. And that would be nice to hit a button and it would do it. One of the reasons I don't back things up every day now, which I should, is because it's a very time consuming process.
And unfortunately you are in the majority. And I agree with you. And I was under the impression that the OneTouch, and I think I touched that thing once at the customer site, you actually configure it to tell it what you want, and then every time you press it, that's what it does. But maybe I'm wrong. So I tell you what, why don't we wait and see? We have a few callers. Maybe one of them wants to answer that question.
All right, I'm going to throw something in there also. The research did suggest that the enemy of hard drives is heat, and that certain external hard drives have fans with them. I don't know whether any of these...
Well, here is the way that it goes. If the transformer, the power supply, is inside inside the enclosure,
right,
then you always have a fan.
Okay.
If you have one of those little transformers, the black box that you plug in the wall, or if it's in line like with some of the laptops, then the power supply is outside.
Okay.
And in most cases, you will not have a fan.
Right, because it doesn't do too much good to back it all up and then the drive go.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I'll wait and listen. I appreciate it.
Wait a second. Larry was going to say something.
Hey, Marshall, I went online and looked up this. Is this a Maxtor you're talking about?
Yeah.
Maxtor OneTouch backup solution?
Right.
It says under their website that it's a backup solution. OneTouch will have most appeal, blah, blah, blah. You can use them to not just backup essential data, but backup the complete disk, including operating system files. So somehow or another, there must be a way to configure
it. Yeah, there must be a way to configure it.
Well, I spent a good 45 minutes to an hour, and they, you know, it's wonderful that you get all this information. Nobody clarifies it in detail so that, the purpose of a OneTouch should be, okay, I'm leaving the office, hit the button, let it back it up,
correct,
and I don't have to worry.
That's right.
But if it backs the whole thing up, and then you can't selectively go on, let's say, and get your Outlook PST or something of that nature, then you've got some issues in these hidden files. There was a reference to the fact that the hidden files either are not backed up or not you're not able to find them selectively. So maybe somebody can shed some light on this.
Okay, so let's see what people have to say about it.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Bye.
Let's talk to Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
Good morning, Avnon.
Morning.
Still looking for an inexpensive laptop.
Mm-hmm.
I heard advertised, well, actually, it was a news story, about an Everex Walmart.com for $200. Sounds too good to be true.
What's
the skinny on it?
I don't know. I never heard of such. Everex is an old, good quality hardware manufacturer, but I never heard of him doing something with Walmart.
Well, I hope I'm not hearing things. That would be bad news.
What are you going to use it for?
Surfing the web and maybe sometime in the future, online banking. Not that I have a lot of money.
So just for internet?
Just for internet.
And you don't want to spend much money?
Correct.
Why don't you get a used one?
Most used ones that I have found were not that much less than a new one.
Well,
most new ones were $200 or so.
Used ones. Yeah.
Yes.
New ones are not $200. New ones are about $400, $500, $600 and up.
But I did hear a news story about the EverX that I was telling you about. I'm pretty sure it did say $200.
Did you call?
I realize that sounds too good to be true. Apparently, it's got a Linux operating system.
Yeah.
And it's got, you know, just state of the art nothing.
Did you call Walmart?
Well, I bought a Walmart, and they said they didn't know anything about it because they didn't have anything in the store.
Interesting.
$200.
All right, well, let's wait and see. Maybe somebody else knows. I don't know anything about it.
All right, appreciate your help, man.
Sure.
Bye.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. 860-0850, star at 50 and pound at 50 on your cell phone. Let's talk to Gene. Morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Fine, how are you?
Yeah. You know me.
I know you. What's up?
Listen, what are a couple of the possible reasons one would receive duplicate emails? Like, you know, you get three or four messages that they're exactly the same from somebody.
One reason would be that the person who's sending you the email has a problem on their machine, maybe a virus or something like that that duplicates and keeps on sending. Another reason would be that you stopped the process of receiving the email from the server abruptly. And there was no, your computer did not signal the server that you already got these.
Got it.
And the next time you're going to get them again.
Yeah, okay. I know that.
Now, it happens, like, do you get them all the time?
No, it's just one person my wife is receiving.
Yeah, I'll bet you that it's their machine.
Yeah, it's like 15 or 20 of them come in.
Yeah, that's their machine. It happened to me this week, as a matter of fact, with one of my customers. And we were corresponding back and forth, and among the correspondence, there was also that original message from the customer that came again and again and again. So told them to install AVG and see. I haven't gotten anything else from them since.
Okay.
So hopefully things are okay.
I
would tell that your wife's friend to run a virus scanner.
But you want to hear about EverX?
Yeah.
On a website, again, I love the internet, there is a $198 Linux desktop from EverX.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a desktop.
But it doesn't include a monitor.
Okay.
Now
that's possible to get.
And it is at Walmart. They're going to put out a sub-$300 Linux notebook sometime in the future.
Okay.
But that's exists. So
you can buy a complete system from Walmart for about $300,
yeah,
$280 some, with the monitor and everything.
Yeah, so if...
But that's a desktop. That's not a laptop.
That's exactly right.
Good point. All right, thanks. Let's talk to Michael. Good morning.
The guy was talking about with a laptop for $200, I saw a thing where they were going to have it at Walmart. They're going to have an Acer laptop for like $350.
Mm-hmm.
It's only going to be like a one-day sale or something. I can't recall the dates on it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I saw on TV. It was a $350 Acer laptop.
Okay.
I don't know any of the specifics on what kind of hard drive or anything like that, but... So I don't know what he was talking about with
that. Larry just found out online that they have a desktop for about that kind of money, for $190-some dollars, but not the laptop.
Right. Okay.
All right, Michael, thanks for calling.
Yeah. Uh-huh, no problem.
860-0850, star at 50 and pound at 50 on your cell phone. So we got Gene. Yeah, Gene.
Yeah, I was. I don't know.
I don't know. You got cut off. Anyway.
So anyway, I have to turn the firewalls off to see those machines. Otherwise, I can't see them. Is there any way around that?
Which machines?
Well, like the desktop. The desktop and the laptop have the.
Then that means that your firewall did not recognize. You told it not to recognize your local area network when you should have. So I would say if you go in, which firewall is it?
It's just a XP. It's the Windows firewall.
Oh well, there should be some exceptions in there or something.
There are exceptions, programs and services, so you can. You can list applications, but I don't see any setting that says you can basically.
I'm not good at that, so I don't know about the firewall that's built into Windows. Do you know much about it, Larry?
No. I don't run Windows anymore. Remember?
Oh yeah, that's right.
I've drunk the Kool-Aid.
So I don't know. Maybe if you call me later on.
Yeah,
after the show, we can walk through it.
Okay, I'm also going to get a hold of Netgear again. They ought to know something.
Nah, that's got nothing to do with them.
Yeah, okay.
It's internal. No. Yeah. Internal to the firewall, I do know that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Sure.
Now, I love how rumors float around the net. Here we go, Asus.
Not Asus, Acer.
Oh, but Asus. Acer. I think he maybe said Asus, too, because they stunned Computex with a 100-pound laptop. Now that's, you know, with
100 pounds?
No, 100 pounds. So that, you know, converted into U.S. bucks, yeah, that means about $250 or something like that. And there's no detail on it. But I'll look up Acer, too.
Yeah, Acer.
But there's also that, you know, the one laptop per child notebook that's going to come out.
100.
Which is about $100 or $200 for the retail model.
It was
$100 for them, but now they want two and they give one away. But again, you know, for surfing the web and. You know, it comes with a wireless connection, but of course you have to have
provider.
You got to have everything there.
So
it's going to cost you some money. I mean, you can't get by totally cheap. You can get by fairly inexpensive, considering if you remember when we started. You know what my first laptop cost? $7,000. I still remember that, and it weighed a ton, but it had a beautiful screen. It was a Toshiba.
Yeah, well.
So, anyway,
let's talk to Carl. Morning.
Hey, good morning again.
What's up?
This is round two of Do You Trust Your IT Consultant?
Never. Never.
Okay, I went around the table about the trend software. We're all more confident now than we were before, but there's still a problem happening that we can't seem to find a solution to. We're getting hijacked. I guess that's the right word. When we go to access the internet and all of a sudden, bam, a second window opens and we're taken to.
Okay, that's spyware. That's got nothing to do with viruses.
Okay,
and now you're
spyware.
Talking spyware. Now,
okay.
For spyware, you don't need to spend any money. For spyware, and I'm assuming you're running Windows?
Correct. XP.
Just go to www.microsoft.com. And do a search for Defender.
I have Defender.
Oh, and did you run it?
Yes, every day.
Interesting.
And check the updates as regular as we can.
Well, it does it automatically.
Well, okay. Well, but still, you know, the problem is still occurring.
Very interesting.
Frequently.
Okay, so the next step will be to download something like. Spybot.
Okay.
Spybot, Search and Destroy, Spybot.
Yep.
The name of the company is Search and Destroy. So, like, do a search for maybe S&D Spybot, because there are some Spybot there, some downloads that are actually spies.
I see.
But you want to get the Search and Destroy Spybot, and I think the version is 1.5. I think so. Download that, install that on top of even alongside Defender, and
okay.
run it. It's a lot more aggressive.
And that's a pay. I guess
that's
no.
That's a free program.
Oh really? Okay.
I mean, you run it and then do away with it.
Oh okay. And
it's not one that sits in the background. It's one that you have to run.
Okay, I got you. Spybot, Search and Destroy.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, man.
Sure. And your calls are coming up next right here on Sports Radio 850. The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2K7 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. We have Mark the Ishman. Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Hey, not too bad. Over in the virtual world, six merchants in this online Second Life environment have filed a real-world lawsuit over what they say are knockoffs of their digital merchandise. The lawsuit filed this week over in Brooklyn, New York, accuses the defendant of copying their merchandise in Second Life, creating virtual identities known as avatars. Members as a whole spend an average of more than $1 million a day in real money to buy food, clothing, shelter, and other items. The vendor suing this defendant said that he has violated copyright and trademark laws by duplicating the products.
Wow.
Wow. This is real. I mean, I didn't realize that in Second Life, the members as a whole were spending $1 million a day to buy money, to buy food, clothes, and shelter, and other items. So this defendant allegedly has copied the code for their online products that they sell to others.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Claims of product cloning in Second Life have already been spun at least once. Now the lawsuit's filed in July of this year in Tampa Bay. And in San Francisco over alleged seizure of their property. Good news for all you online merchants and consumers. The Congress unanimously approved a bill to extend the ban on internet taxes for 7 years. So this was first approved back in 1998, renewed twice, and was set to expire this week. But as a result, Congress has extended it for another 7 years. This is good news.
So they extended the tax ban, and they extended the period, too.
Yes.
7 years?
7 years.
Interesting. They're serious about it, huh?
They are serious. So if you're buying a product or selling a product to a North Carolina person or a North Carolina merchant, you have a tax.
Right.
Otherwise, if you cross the state buying something or selling something on the Internet, no tax.
Well, not true. Because, no, that's not true, Mark. Because
generally speaking, there are some things.
Yeah. Yes.
To our consumer based radio listeners, it gets more complex with the merchant.
Well, yeah, I mean, if whoever you're buying has any kind of office in North Carolina, then you have to pay
yes.
for it. You have to pay the tax.
Then yes.
If they decide that they want to play with North Carolina and they said, yeah, we will collect the tax, you have no choice but to pay it. Some companies say, you know, we do what North Carolina does for us. And even there's sort of like an agreement between them that one will collect for the other, and they do. So anyway. You need to watch your order form and see where is tax included in what states.
Yes, but good
That's
point,
good.
Amnon. Right. Two public interest groups are asking the United States government to target what they claim are invasive online marketing schemes involving social networking websites or targeting children or teenagers in a lengthy new complaint filed this week. They are concerned that Internet users are more vulnerable than ever to increasingly sophisticated advertising techniques that depend on tracking and compartmentalizing users' behavior and preferences. So when consumers search for information online, they may be unaware of marketers in their wake who are scooping up digital traces of consumers' online activities and compiling profiles that could undermine privacy. As a general comment to that, if you are adhering to the Federal Trade Commission privacy standards, you should be disclosing all of your marketing practices and your privacy policy. Mm-hmm. And if you are doing that and disclosing it to all of your users, and they elect to use your services despite that, well, then that's what it is. Well, anyway, this is coming to a forefront, and the FTC will now be looking at that. Most consumers are familiar with the Do Not Call list, which are meant to keep telemarketers from phoning them. Well, soon people will be able to sign up for the Do Not Track list, which will help shield their web surfing habits from the prying eyes of marketers. Today, this week, AOL, a division of Time Warner, will announce a service of this type, which will be up and running by the end of the year. So that's good.
Interesting. So DoubleClick and all these are going to go out of business? That's fine. That's great.
Oh, what happened to that big evaluation that happened last week?
The what?
With Google's purchase.
Oh. What?
If all of a sudden they purchase and spend millions of dollars, billions of dollars in buying DoubleClick.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well,
and now they're out of business.
Yeah. Now, let's go back for a second to the no-call, do-not-call list.
Sure.
This doesn't cover commercial business phone numbers, right? Do you know?
Correct.
And what can people do if they are on the do not call list and they still get those?
Well, now you should contact your state attorney general.
Okay.
Better Business Bureau as
so
well.
So that's what they should do. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Next.
Yes. AP reports that some privacy advocates are proposing scrapping the WHOA system entirely because they can't agree with people who use the system how to give domain owners more options when they register. They are upset because of privacy issues. Here, because they need to reveal their real name and a address in which they can be contacted at. I have a real problem with not allowing this be a requirement. We have seen anyone can create a website, sell products,
correct,
infringe copyrights and trademarks, run a scam, mm-hmm. Post content that's regulated by federal and state law. In essence, you're creating a legal business by having a website, whether or not you choose to run it commercially or not. You can be blogging and posting all kinds of things online that could bring suit to civil defamation suits. So at the end of the day, you need to provide a name and an address in which you can be served at, mm-hmm. just like creating a legal entity.
Right.
Like all the states have created that you need a registered agent. Thus, it's okay perhaps to have the, as it is today, to have that name revealed for privacy purposes, but once a subpoena is issued, it must be revealed. And for others to see that that's not needed, I'm an opponent to that movement.
I'm with you. I don't think much. When I do a who is and I see that it's masked, I don't think much about that entity. There's only one thing you need to worry about is a phone number and your email address. A phone number is not important for that, for your domain record. And email address is not important for that, but it's important so you can get notices from the registrar. All you want to know is when you do a who is, you want to know who is the company that owns it. That's all. And you can do the same thing like you say, you know, if you try to come up with a corporation name, you can do the same thing and find out who owns it. So, yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, it's trying to hide underneath an umbrella so you can go out there and think the Internet's a wild, wild west. And we're seeing every day that more and more litigation is being brought because of the naive perception of others that thinking that they can do whatever they want to on the Internet.
I agree.
And you must be accountable for your actions.
Yep.
Moving on. U.S. remains the world's biggest spammer. According to this report, U.S. came well ahead of its rivals, being responsible for 28.4% of all spam. South Korea was second with 5.2%, followed by China at 4.9%, and Russia at 4.4%, and Brazil at
3.7%.
And speaking of spam, a New Jersey man, not spam, has received 2 years in jail for an AOL spam scam. This New Jersey man was sentenced to more than 2 years in prison for helping send spam emails to more than 1.2 million American online subscribers. He was caught making a deal with the government informant to send junk email advertisings for a computer security program in return for 50% of the profits. He told the informant by instant messaging that he could conceal the source of the emails through his access to 40 different servers and had profited $40,000 a month from other spam email scams that promoted stocks.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting his day. You can't.
Yeah.
It's not the Wild West. You will be accountable. And speaking about accountability, TJX, the big 1 million credit cards that were compromised by a hacking incident,
mm-hmm.
banks are suing them, alleging that TJX, that company, was warned of inadequate safeguards to protect credit card data the year before the hackers broke into the retailer system's account and unearthed information of these 100 million credit cards. Now, Amnon, you know, in order to provide that shopping cart and Visa or MasterCard as an option to purchase, you must meet certain security standards.
Correct.
And they weren't, and they were warned about it a year before this incident.
Then they deserve to get whatever comes at them now.
And we saw how this was first generated. As we reported previously, this was done through a laptop in a car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be.
Very scary.
All right.
Do you want a couple funny things?
We already passed the time, but go ahead real fast.
All right. So what do you do when you have a stolen driver's license printer, but you can't use a PC to work with it?
Use a Mac.
Well, here's a tip. You do not call the manufacturer and ask for the driver software. This thief stole the printer and along with the PC, and collectively they are used to print driver's license. Well, when he couldn't work the printer, he called in the manufacturer for the printer driver for the model so he could buy it. Well, that led into all kinds of investigations, and he's now behind.
Good.
Bars. And that is this week's news affecting your enjoyment of your computer both in the workplace and at home. If you have any questions or a follow-up with what we talked about today, head on over to ishmanlaw.com. There you'll find all of my contact information.
All right, Mark.
As always, it's been my pleasure. Have a great week.
Same here.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Computers 2K7, Sports Radio at 50 The Buzz. Let's talk to Paula.
There. Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to offer an alternative view to the caller before about Internet taxes.
Yeah.
That's it's actually very bad for consumers.
To what?
Not to pay Internet taxes. What it does is it gives companies who don't have a physical presence in North Carolina the ability to not pay taxes to the state of North Carolina,
right,
which reduces our state budget
mm-hmm.
by I think nationwide it's something like billions of dollars, or million.
Yeah.
Billions.
I agree.
So for you not to pay $3 toward your state in order to get all the services that we really like public education, like clean water, like good roads,
There are always two sides to everything.
It's a false economy because over the last 20 years, individuals have been paying more and more and more toward the state budget, while businesses, corporations, and very wealthy are paying less and less and less, and that just helps them to do that.
But I'm serious. If you and I purchase a lot of things, I have to, through the Internet, and the more you look, I mean, the closer you look, you'll see that at the bottom where it says sales tax, that which states have to pay sales tax, there are more and more states listed there.
That's right, because there's a sort of a coalition of
correct
states who want to do this.
Absolutely.
Because they know that they're losing money.
And
in addition, on your state, next time when you're going to pay your tax this mm-hmm. year, look at the state tax form. There is a requirement by law that
right.
you estimate how much money that you spent online that you did not have to pay the company, and you are to report that and pay
it. I know,
it.
And I think there's also, if you don't want to list, what is it, $30 or something like that that you have to pay?
Yes.
That gives an out to a lot of people. I mean, you can buy huge amounts of money from states that don't charge, and they pay $30. I mean, $30 is better than nothing for the state, but still, there should be a way. So, but this is why I always say that if you can, should always buy locally.
That's right.
Keep
because
the money
just,
here.
We're just bleeding money out of this state, and yep. it does affect the very people who think that they're getting some
Absolutely.
Cool deal.
Yep.
And then the other thing, I have a question. Why is it on all my radios in my house, and they're very good ones, I can listen to any station, but when I get to 850 The Buzz, there is a constant
buzz.
Yeah,
it's 850 The Buzz.
It's annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying. I don't know. This is a question to John.
Okay, somebody.
At home, I also. So, hey, turn on your computer and listen on the computer. It's quiet. It's
what a
very
good idea.
Yeah, we do
hey,
a
Larry.
Live stream now.
What?
Larry, talk. Say something.
I'm just listening.
All right, we need
talk
to
talk about Mac. Goodbye.
We need to break. Bye. And we'll be back right after this. Hey, 850 The Buzz. Good morning, everybody. You're tuned to Computers 2K7 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. I'm Alman, your host for the next hour now, along with Larry Dial.
Well, I used to be here.
Yeah.
I'm here again.
Yeah, and you used to be here all the time.
I used to be here all the time. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I've drunk the Kool-Aid now. Remember we used to have the Microsoft Minute? Now, I wonder what kind of music we could use for the Mac Minute.
The evil empire.
Boom, boom, boom.
We'll get to the Mac. And our producer, screener, he makes it happening for us around here is Shannon. Good morning.
I'm awake.
You are?
You are?
How many
now,
cups of coffee do you have?
Believe it or not, only one. Yeah, that's what
I said. A mug.
Yeah, it had a lot of packs of sugar, but still.
How many Red Bulls?
Just two.
So, yeah, you're up for sure. Our number is 860-0850, star at 50 and pound at 50 on your cell phone, and these are free calls. So those of you that remember Larry.
Bless you.
Larry was all the way Microsoft.
I was working in Microsoft. I believed in it.
And now everything is, let me tell you, he's sitting here. He's got a Mac laptop.
Surfing the net.
He's got an iPhone. Of course, he's got an iPod somewhere, I'm sure. Either that or is the you're not using the iPhone as your iPod? I mean, I thought that was the whole idea.
Oh, I do, but, I mean, I've also got a big iPod just for all my stuff. I keep this backup on it.
Okay.
But, yeah, because the iPod phone or the iPhone only has a maximum 8 gigs. So, you know,
that's not
limit.
Enough.
I've got several hundred gig of
doodles
of AV files. Well, AV television shows. I mean, AV files alone on television shows, and particularly like on series. I subscribe to the Stewart Show, and they really eat up space fast. You can load up a machine.
So what? So what brought all this Mac attack?
The Mac attack? Well, I'll tell you what brought it. And you and I we were talking about this off the air. When you finally figure out that the future is going to be web-based and has nothing to do with the operating system anymore. Therefore, you look for the best operating system as opposed to what you can find the most applications for. That and the issuing or when Mac switched to an Intel-based processor. So if I have to run a Windows app, I can do that. I can dual boot this thing, create a partition. I mean, this is, you know, this boot camp is simply a partition manager, and you can choose. The problem is you got to buy the copy of Windows to put on a new partition. I'm not going to do that. Because there's very little I've found that I can't do, and I use it. I own the 17-inch laptop. I've also owned a MacBook, the new one, which I still would argue is the best laptop value out there, especially for students and people who don't have to do a lot of business work because it's graphics and sound are not the best, but you know, for $1,300, you can get a great machine. So I use a browser. I also have, I use NeoOffice. I've taken all the Mac software.
NeoOffice, not open.
No, NeoOffice is the Mac port of, or the Mac version of OpenOffice. And I have no trouble with it. Now, again, I don't.
And it's free.
It's absolutely free. And it has all the applications. And on standard Excel, because I use Excel applications a lot, we do a lot of documentation on it, I have no trouble.
Going
back and forth with Word documents, I have no trouble. With PowerPoint presentations, I have no trouble. I don't do a lot of databases anymore because those are all the data I work with now is too big for the local stuff.
Fits on
and,
the...
Yeah, we sit on shared drives and on servers and things.
See,
like
which
that.
which brings me to also some.
Okay.
I don't understand all these government
right.
employees that are losing their laptops and losing those huge databases. Why?
Because they're morons.
I know.
I mean, there have been new. I mean, I work for the government and deal with sensitive material, and there have been new regulations come down. But none of this stuff should ever get off premise. I mean,
right.
I don't know how any supervisor let their person take home a laptop copy. We are strictly forbidden to do that.
And especially when it's all on the server, and that's what you do your work from anywhere.
I know. I mean, as a contractor, what I have accessibility to remotely is email and something, an electronic file room that documents are stored in. No classified documents.
Mm-hmm. Good.
They don't let you bring in large portable hard drives. Those are forbidden and actually blocked if you try to install something that's like above 250 on your laptop. Well, I mean, on your desktop, you can't get on. The desktops are all on secure networks. You cannot have a laptop connected to it. The laptop you bring in has to be inspected, used for personal use. And that's what it should be used for, because mm-hmm. you shouldn't use your desktop to go surfing around the net, because this is government property. So I think it's getting better, but I do think that Veterans Administration thing was awful. I mean, I don't know how anybody ever kept their jobs after that over there, because it's just, how do you let somebody take out a massive database of Social Security numbers?
I know, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous.
So,
Let's go talk to Bill Sick. Bill?
Good morning.
Morning.
Got a question for you.
Yeah.
Recently, I started receiving an error message, Microsoft Visual C++ Runtime Library, Runtime Error, and the error number is R6025 Pure Virtual Function Call. And I don't have a clue what's going on.
Me and you.
You know, I used to.
Interesting. Which is it just in Windows or it's a certain application?
Well, when I'm on the Internet, and it says underneath the runtime error program, C program files, Internet Explorer, iexplorer.exe.
Yeah.
So it's on your Internet browser.
Yeah. It's your browser.
I'd use Firefox. The first thing I would do is get rid of it and download Firefox free. It's much better.
Okay.
Yeah, I really would, because I don't know. I mean, that's what I use on a Mac.
That's what I use.
And it's open source. It's constantly updated.
It's a lot safer.
Yes.
But the first thing that I would say that you should do is go ahead and clear your cache.
Okay.
Good. That may be. Also, go ahead and are you running XP? If you go to Windows Explorer and look under your login, there may or there may not be a folder called local settings. If there isn't, then you need to click on Tools and Folder Options and View, and then check Show System Files or System Folders and Files. And
so then I go into the Windows folder.
You go into Windows Explorer.
Okay, and I'm there.
And you click Tools.
Okay.
Folder Options. View. And if you look down, sort of like the bottom of the window that opened up, you'll see it indented Show or Hide System Files and Folders. You see it?
I'm sorry, I had to get out of something. I'm in Internet Options, and I'm in...
No. No, I didn't say to go into Internet Explorer. I said Windows Explorer.
Windows Explorer. I'm sorry.
We can't spend any more time on this online. If you want to call me later on, I'll walk you through it. But
okay.
You go into Windows Explorer. You go into Tools, Folders Folder Options, and View, and you check to see the Windows system folders, and then you will have local settings under your login, under your name. In there is a temp folder, and you want to delete everything. Like, do you shut down your machine every day?
Right.
Then everything from yesterday and back.
Okay.
You don't want to take chances on current ones. Delete everything in the temp folder.
Gotcha.
And then try and see if you still have that problem.
Okay, but you say Firefox is probably the...
And then download absolutely. Firefox.
Yeah, absolutely. Firefox is much better.
I had heard at one time that with Firefox that you couldn't get the automatic Microsoft downloads.
That's correct.
Okay, so I'd have to basically go in...
No, you just leave it. The updates are automatic anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. And your calls are coming up next right here on Sports Radio 850. The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2K7 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our numbers again, 860-0850, *850, and #850 on your cell phone. And these are free calls. So you have an iPhone.
Yeah.
Don't point it at me.
You realize what Colbert says. If you push the...
Who?
The Stephen Colbert, who wanted one of these. The guy, he's on television, a comedian.
The guy that was trying to become...
He was running for president, yes. And he complained that they didn't give him that Apple didn't give him one because they did to John Stewart. So when he finally got one, he said, you know, if you press the call button and email button at the same time, it becomes a taser.
Don't tase me, bro.
I mean, I think this is now. There's a lot of problems. There are problems with this.
What bothers you?
The network. Was AT&T. I did not want to do that, but
okay,
I couldn't get anybody else.
Okay, there's nothing you can do. I mean,
that's not the
phone problem.
No, I would like to have a memory slot on here to put a card into so that I could enhance the capability. Doesn't have that. It also lacks some features, cut and paste and all inside. Now, all that aside,
uh-huh.
I still think it's the most revolutionary piece of hardware coming out because... And this is where I think it really does change things. I don't have to take my laptop with me anymore to get email or surf the web. And I can do it on this phone. Now, the good side of the network is the moment you walk into a wireless network, it'll pick it up. And if you have access to it, like I do at home or a lot of stores, Whole Foods has one, Starbucks, you pick that up and go at those speeds. So that's great. Otherwise, you go to Edge, which is awful. It's about, I don't know what it is, but it's slow. We don't like that. But you can do email. You can do online banking on this thing. You can do anything you can do on a browser, you can do here. That's amazing because eventually as this gets better and other people, there will be competitors out there, laptops are going to become what you only need if you really want to work.
Right.
This is going to be your communication device. Plus, it's a great screen for...
Yeah, the screen is real nice.
And now that they've added the feature that you can buy from iTunes, I mean... Now, they also... I mean, what I didn't like was paying the money for it, but... And then he lowered the price on
like
them.
But like you said, it'll still come down.
Yeah, I just think that this is the future. And obviously, the stock market does too, because the stock went immediately when this was announced from... 85 to 93, and now it continues to go up. And all they've really introduced since the iPhone, there have been some cosmic changes. The MacBooks and now Leopard and the stock is $187. Unbelievable.
Good.
You can never fault him for not being a good marketer.
No, I mean, they were always good marketers.
Yep.
And they had the people that used apples always used them no matter what.
So, I mean, I'm not a fanatic except that
yeah.
I also love the industrial design.
It looks nice.
Everything that he puts out has an aesthetic beauty to it. You were talking when I opened up the 17-inch
yeah.
laptop. If you compare it to the Dell or the Gateway 17-inch monster Toshiba, their bricks weigh more than my
yeah.
laptop.
Yeah.
So it's really nice.
Something. It's nice. There's no doubt.
So, yeah, I'm
It goes to sleep real quick.
Pardon?
It goes to sleep.
You can sit that.
Yeah. And the same thing with the iPhone?
Yeah, you can sit this. I prefer, and you get better battery life.
Absolutely.
That way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the battery life I haven't had a problem with because I charge it every night. I use it as an alarm clock. You know.
An expensive alarm clock at night.
Well,
in the morning, that's what it is. During the day, it's a nice...
It's a phone, and yeah. I can play songs on it, and, you know...
Yeah.
And I'm not convinced that when they go to a 3G network on this thing, that it's not a software update. I hope it is. I hope they've been that clever. And I don't put it past them. So
you're waiting.
And if Max, if you're calling me on a mobile, I won't be able to answer till later because I see Jane Pinsky mobile on this. That's Max probably got her phone.
let's talk to John. Good morning.
Hey, Amnon, good morning.
What's up?
I don't know whether to start by apologizing or saying thank you. I called a few weeks ago, and I had this problem with this mysterious 250 gigs of space being used on my computer.
Yes.
Then you so generously offered to let me call you on your own phone, and then I proceeded to try your patience by anticipating your next move and got myself in trouble. Well, Pete,
let me people know so they don't do it. I mean, we went through and I was telling him what to delete here and what to delete there, and we deleted everything from the temp. And then I said, go to Windows, and there's a temp under Windows. And I said, and you want to be there, and then highlight everything and delete. And he said, okay. And he's deleting. He says, okay, it says it cannot delete explorer.exe. And I'm saying, wait a second. You are not in temp. You're in Windows. So
you're
at that
deleting
point,
your Windows file.
So at that point, I took him to the recycling bin. I said, you restore everything. I mean, there were thousands of files.
Well,
and I said, no, you need to bring it over.
And you did, and you saved everything. Well,
what did you do finally?
Well, finally, I decided to shut it off and give it a half hour, and I turned it back on. And I remember the steps that you told me to go through,
mm-hmm.
and I went through each one of the steps, and it didn't seem to clear up the memory issue, although all those files were gone. So I went back and...
Did you delete them?
Yeah.
Did you empty the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but listen to what I found.
Okay.
I went into the Windows folder and all those icons.
Yes.
There was one called PC Health.
PC Health.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I clicked on it and did properties. It was 250 gigs. And I looked in, and there were all these files from a 2 or 3 day period around September 15th, and there were 7 gigs, 10 gigs, blah blah blah. And I just deleted them all, restarted my computer, and I had all my space available to me again.
Interesting. And PC Health should be a log.
You almost don't notice the darn thing.
Yeah.
And there were the same name files, and, you know, if I was a good conscientious guy, I'd have written that name down and told you this morning, but I was so embarrassed it took me 2 weeks to work up the courage to call you back.
I still
owe you. I'm going to have to call you during the week and tell me where to send a check.
No, seriously, I'm
so happy that, you know, you...
I was getting frustrated because...
I was being a jerk, yeah.
No, it's not a jerk. It's inexperience with Windows and not really knowing it. And the most people that I work with, and I said, I'll do it through the phone with you, are people that know more.
Yeah.
And I should have recognized that you weren't on top of it.
Yeah.
But at least we, you didn't lose your everything.
Everything worked out great, yeah. And I can't thank
Good.
You enough.
You are most welcome.
Okay.
And don't be ashamed. You can call again if you have a problem.
I appreciate it, Amnon. I'll keep listening.
All right, John.
Okay.
Take care.
All right.
And let's see, Bob.
How you doing?
Morning.
I really enjoy your show here. Sorry to revert back to kind of a generalist rookie question, but some guy earlier was asking about Norton, and what we didn't get to was what free antivirus software you might recommend.
Okay.
I had a guy who is a computer geek, repair kind of person who's good, tell me he likes Avast.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
But there are a lot of them out there. One question I had was these review sites, it seems difficult to tell if these are sites that are featuring people who pay them to feature them or if they're legitimate review sites.
The problem that I have with any kind of reviews, it's one person's opinion.
Yes.
Whoever wrote it. I'm judging these things by the way that they perform. And because I, from day one, AVG worked great for me and for a lot of other people, that's what I keep on using. Avast is good. There is a antivir, something like that.
Avira antivir.
Yes. I've heard that is good. I haven't tried it yet. But I've been using AVG.
Okay. Now, the next question is, they all have a free, those three in particular,
yep,
that I have heard good things about, they all have a free download with
right,
automatic updates, but they also have a paid version.
I know.
Is there a reason to...
Well, the only reason I would want to get the paid version of AVG is that the daily or weekly scan, complete scan, you can tell it what to scan. Right now, it goes and scans all my drives. And I don't need to because the other ones are backup. So, but there's no way to do it. Other than that, I see no reason.
Okay.
Seriously. I have one habit, though, that whenever if I leave the office and come back and start my Outlook Express again, before I check mail, I always right-click on the AVG icon in the system tray and do a check for updates.
Okay.
And every time I do it, they have an update. So they actually send updates 3 or 4 times a day.
Okay.
I don't know if the paid version checks more often, but if you get into this habit of just checking for updates all the time, you will still get them.
Okay. Now my last question, it's about Norton.
Yeah.
Norton, I understand, eats up a lot of space.
Resources,
on
yeah,
the drive is one of its major drawbacks among several. I think that's accurate. But
yeah, that's correct.
Now the other thing is
it's bloated.
You mentioned that one should not just disable Norton but delete it.
Right.
I've had problems in the past getting rid of the damn thing.
Right. In the past, there were, and there may be some situations today, although I haven't run into those in the last year or two. It was a pain in the, you know what, to get rid of it. Lately, in the last year or two, it's a straightforward thing. The other thing that you can do, once you delete it, and if you are computer literate, then start registering Reg Edit, and search for search for Norton. I search for NAV, Norton Antivirus, and delete every occurrence of these from the registry.
And if I'm not especially literate,
then
I should perhaps enlist the assistance of someone who can walk me through it?
No, somebody who would do it. I will not walk anybody doing anything on the registry. If you mess up in the registry, that's it. Your machine is cooked.
You can't do
anything. Yeah.
So in my case,
in that case, find somebody to do it.
Okay.
Although you don't really have to. I mean, this is the way that I do it when I get a machine on my bench. You don't have to. If the uninstall went from A to Z with no errors, you don't need to worry about it. Even though there's a bunch of Norton antivirus references in the registry, it doesn't do anything.
Okay.
It's just that I like to clean them out.
Yeah, I would.
So as long as you can go to the Norton, if it hasn't uninstalled, use that. If not, go to the add and remove and take them one at a time. And some will tell you that you have to remove this first before you can remove that. And I think it's the updates. You have to remove the updating, the live update, live reg, and all these.
And, yes.
And as long as it comes back and tells you that when you started the process of removing, it did not crash, then you're okay.
Okay. Well, that answers my questions, and thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Bob. Take care. Let's go talk to the – you have to say something about that?
No, but I have something about PC Health.
What?
Guess what it is.
What?
Part of Windows Live.
Oh, it is, yeah.
How scary is it?
But there's no reason for it to be 250 gig.
You never know what they put
right,
in there.
You don't know what they do. I'm going to look at mine.
Ooh.
When I go home. David.
Yes.
What's up?
Hi. I'm thinking about buying a new computer for the first time in many millennium. And I've got all this software. Like, I've got Microsoft Office 2000 Professional. And I'm wondering, is that going to transfer to this new Vista program?
As far as I'm concerned, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So I don't have to buy a whole new version of Word or anything like that?
No.
Oh, that's great. I've been so worried because one of the reasons I've been holding off is because a friend of mine told me that there were so many hang-ups.
No, as a matter of fact, a lot of people with Vista are saying that Office 2007 is a dog. I mean, it slows the machine down really bad.
Oh, really? So if I have my Office 2000 and I'm happy with it,
You should be able to install it with no problems.
Oh, that's great. And when a lot of the time they offer these, like, I heard you all talking earlier about virus protection, and they have these 30-day trials, or you can buy.
Get rid of them.
Do what?
Get rid of them.
Get rid of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
And go ahead and go to free.grisoft.com and download the free version of AVG.
Okay.
Go and download. Vista has Defender built in, so you don't need to worry about that. If you wanted a firewall, you can, I don't know the URL, but just do a search for Komodo Firewall Pro.
Okay.
And it's free.
Now, what exactly is a firewall? Maybe I'm...
A firewall, well, this is a firewall and privacy systems. What it does is, it makes sure that anybody who's trying to come into your machine, you give permission to. And anything that's trying to go out of your machine, you give permission to. And you train it. You tell it, yeah, every time do this. Allow this.
Okay.
Don't allow that. And that's sort of like so spyware could not get out and send information out. But the downside of this, you really need to know what the program is. Komodo Firewall is... Are you behind a router? Do you have broadband?
I've got... I think it's called DSL Lite.
Okay, so do you only have the box that you got from...
From my...
So you don't have... Okay, so no, in that case, a firewall will do good for you.
Oh, okay.
If you're behind a router, then it's not that necessary.
Oh, okay. And what's that? EBG, ABG? What was
AVG, that's an antivirus.
Okay.
So... Free, F-R-E-E, .grisoft.com, and just follow and download the free version.
And then I literally just delete the stuff that...
Yeah. Well, in many cases, you have to uninstall the stuff.
Okay, and that won't hurt the computer?
No.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
What?
I did think of a reason to buy AVG.
Yeah.
To support the software. It's a great piece of software.
But there's nothing there to support, really. I mean...
Well, you're supporting developers and...
Oh, no. That's fine, yeah.
I mean, I give them
a donation.
Yeah,
but,
consider if you can...
It's bigger also, so I'd rather have...
The free one, just give a donation.
Yeah.
That works,
yeah.
Too, but, you know, if you can afford it and you don't mind it,
yeah.
It's not a bad
And idea. Businesses, besides, businesses have to buy it.
Yes.
This is for personal use.
A great piece of software.
And we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Computers 2K7 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Let's talk to Bob again. Morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
All right.
Good. I bought
A different Bob. Okay.
I bought a new HP. I had to replace our home computer the other day, and it comes with so much junk on it, like the free internet setup and high speed and Vonage and all this stuff. But I'll go into Control Panel to delete it, and it's not there. What's the best way to get rid of that
stuff? If it's not in the control, in the add and remove programs,
right?
Then it really hasn't been installed yet. So okay. you can just go and delete the folder.
Directly off the C drive?
Yeah, but okay. You have to know what you're deleting.
Yeah, I understand that. But if it's a setup, if you click on it and it goes to a setup file,
right, then it
has not been installed. It's just sitting
no,
there on the hard
even drive. If a program is set up, you can install it again and the setup will still go.
Right.
What I'm saying is if it's not in the add and remove programs, then chances are it hasn't been installed.
Gotcha. Okay, and the Norton that comes with it, you're saying it's better to get rid of it and go with the AVG?
Absolutely.
I like the AVG. I've used it before. It's good.
Yep.
I guess that's my questions then. I appreciate your show.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. 860-0850, *850, and #50 on your cell phone. We still didn't hear from anybody out there. What Marshall asked about is the OneTouch Mac Store drive. He could not find a way how to configure it so it will only back up what he wants backed up, not the whole drive. So let's hear from you. In the meantime, let's go talk with Shaheen.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Morning. How are you?
All right. I just have a general question to ask you. What's your thoughts about e-machines?
E-machines?
Yes.
It's, again, bottom of the barrel. E-machines are built from, I mean, they're real cheap, and they're built from inferior hardware.
Okay.
Now, what are you going to do with that machine?
I just want to do some simple applications, nothing.
What is simple applications?
Like, just software, you know, just Microsoft Word, you know, things like that.
Browsing
the internet once in a while.
And that's for personal use or in the business?
Yeah, personal use.
That's fine. That's fine. Go for it.
How long should I expect it to last? I
mean, there's no way of telling. I've seen some e-machines that lasted 3, 4, 5 years. I've seen some e-machines that 6 months into the warranty, they failed.
Oh.
The point is, as long as you keep backup, if your budget is, if you don't have a budget to buy something more expensive and better, then it's fine to buy the e-machine and use it. Just keep backups of what you are creating.
Okay, great. Thank you
so
very much.
So don't be afraid of it, but mm-hmm. be aware.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate your help.
Sure. Take care. Oh, okay. Well, you better stay there.
I got ants in my pants.
Never mind. Let's not get into that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Whoops.
860-0850, *850, and #850 on your cell phone. Yeah, Larry.
Yes.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about Max, of course.
Yeah, of course. Oh, well,
and,
what else would I talk about?
That's what you should talk about. You know,
told you somebody took a bite of your apple.
I know.
And it seems like there's another
Steve bite. Jobs takes a bite of every apple. That's all I can say.
I'm serious. This machine looks real slick. It's really nice. It's thin. It's big. The screen is big. But again, I really don't. I don't understand.
You like widescreen.
I don't understand why they came up with widescreens when everything is stretching. I mean, even TVs, you go and you look at TVs in some of the stores, you know, sit in a restaurant and everybody is fat or, you know, I mean, what is going on here? Oh, that's because it's a widescreen and you play normal.
Yeah, if you put it on normal, yeah.
Yeah.
But most DVDs have both. I mean, or you can either buy one or the other.
I mean, when you use the computer, I mean, I see your screen. You're not using the whole thing.
Well, I could, but I just
know
don't.
You could. Why don't you? I mean, it's not like you need this side.
Well, because I want the access to. Yeah, I do. I have file accesses on my desktop.
Okay. So. But most people that you see in a widescreen and they have the screen kind of centered in the middle, and that's it.
Yeah. So. I like maximum screen that gives me access to everything else. And
no, it's
the only problem I ever have is with resolution. I mean, because you can set this resolution so fine that I can't see it.
Yeah.
I can't read it. So you have to be careful.
Does it have a cam?
Yes.
It has a mic?
Yes.
So you do everything on the
I can do everything, yeah. I can do
so who's watching you now? Steve Jobs, probably.
Probably Steve, yeah. He's probably built into every machine.
Let's talk to Rob. Morning.
Good morning. I decided to break down and tell you what I know about the One Touch.
Uh-oh.
All right.
I was doing some home repairs, but I thought I'd stop since nobody called in. I've got a One Touch. The software is based on Dance Retrospect.
Okay.
And most of what you see out there is reviews of Dance Retrospect Professional, and this is a light version. It doesn't have the same capabilities that the Professional does.
If you
want to find more information about the software, you can go to dantz.com. They have a message board there, a forum. You can look into that, but essentially, the light is misleading because it's a lot more limited than the Professional, but Professional at the time that I got mine cost $100, which I wasn't willing to do. So I wound up keeping the drive, which I like, and not using the one-touch feature, and I just go ahead and I use it with True Image, the Acronis product.
Mm-hmm.
And I just go ahead and set up the Acronis, and which is a lot more friendly and a lot cheaper. It works real well, and I've had good luck in doing that.
So it's true that the light version,
is nowhere near as capable as
Professional. And you cannot configure it to for certain folders and then press it and it'll do it.
With the version I've had mine for. Probably close to 2 years now, or a year and a half. And with the version I had that they bundled with the one I bought my One Touch, which was a one and not a two or a three, the software was not capable of doing what you thought it was capable of doing when you looked at the literature.
Okay.
So if you want to check out whatever version you have, if you want to check now, you can go to dance.com.
So
and assuming that the new versions are still using a dumbed down version of Retrospect.
Okay, so
but in a professional, as I understand it, in a commercial setting, you know, Dance software and the Retrospect is professional is well thought of, but the version that's bundled with the Mac Store or One Touch is limited in its capabilities, at least at the time I got mine.
Good. I think this is what Marshall was looking for.
Right. So, like I said, what I wound up doing that works very well for me is I use Acronis True Image, and I've had no problems with it.
But
as a matter of fact, when I have XP and when I put in the Service Pack 2, the XP, even though I cleaned everything up, the XP screwed up and partially installed. And I blew away my whole drive and put in the copy of the drive that I had stored under True Image, and it worked fine. And then when I tried to reinstall again, it worked fine that time, and it was okay. But that really saved me a lot of hassle.
The magic of backups.
Yeah, I was a believer before. I'm a firm believer now.
Yep.
So I hope that helps you.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah, I'm sure this is what he was looking for. That's great. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. So, yes, so the Retrospect Pro Professional would do it.
I'd be willing to bet that if you read the literature that came with the drives, they have to tell you this. That
I don't know.
This is a, maybe not, because but it's such an, I mean, as Marshall was saying.
Let's put it this way. If you have a computer, you buy a laptop,
mm-hmm.
and it tells you that you can do word processing with it,
mm-hmm.
They're not lying?
No.
But
no.
It doesn't have Microsoft Word. It has Notepad. So true. It's the same thing there. They say, you know, you can configure. Yeah, you can configure, but you can do whatever you want.
Right. No, I mean, so, I think his answer is exactly right. Yeah. This, what's going on.
So, yeah, Marshall, it's either you go with True Image, but at that point you lose the one-touch button. The button would not work.
Or spend the money.
The money. And maybe today it's cheaper. Go look for it. It's
right. Complain to Macstore. Maybe they'll
right.
Maybe they'll give you some money to buy it.
And we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Computers 2K7 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. So you're not used to that.
No. I'm used to sitting at a desk and being quiet.
So when is the last time you put your hands on a PC?
Well, I use one every day at work, but I don't do anything other than specific work on it.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I either code on it or I write emails or memos and things like that. Yeah, so I keep it in there, but I just don't.
And when you come in and you sit in front of the PC, do you go, oh, jeez, not again. I have to use this machine.
Well, no, I just set my laptop up next to it and put it on the Internet. And so then anything that I want personally, including checking my home email, I just do next to it. And as I told you, I have, because of the advanced and rapid search capabilities of this thing, there are a lot of times I'll use this to search files that I can't. If you try to search files on a Windows machine, say your hair starts to hurt. Yeah, just watch.
Yeah,
this stuff does it instantaneously, and it saves a lot of time. Now, you don't want to,
It's Linux.
It's got a great file system, and yeah. It's stable that way. So I use this occasionally as an accessory at work, but that's it. I mean, and again, it's not connected to anything. It's important.
How many people at work did you influence?
At least a couple.
At
least a couple. And actually, somebody at work was one who influenced me. One of my friends, whose name shall we remain anonymous. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy. He's a Frenchman who has dual citizenship, and has been. And he got into Mac through photography and all. And I just watched him work on it. I go, this is just so much better experience than I'm doing. He's right. So we have sort of a contest going on. Who's the most technologically advanced? Right now I am.
But what do you mean?
Who owns the newest, the latest iPhone gadget?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have an iPhone
who's
yet.
Who's got most of the toys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Toys for boys. But, it's better than going to the track. At least you own something.
Did your iPhone ever crash?
No. I can't say it will. Yes, it has.
And your computer?
No. Well, the only time it ever crashed was when I was doing something I shouldn't have done, which is when you buy a new Mac, you can do a FireWire-to-FireWire connection with an old Mac, and you can transfer stuff back and forth with a utility that's given to you. You turn one into a master, one into a slave. Well, unfortunately, I put you choose how you want to do the files. Overwrite if the newer version. Well, I just was lazy and said overwrite newer version. So I put the newer version of the hardware software from a MacBook onto the MacBook Pro, and this thing wouldn't boot. So you just put
what'd you do?
You put the CD back in and reinstall the operating system, and then do that over again with just data, and it copies it over so that your profile is right and your data is there. So.
Yeah. Okay. So that's not a crash. That's
stupidity. User stupidity. And I confess to it.
Error between the chair and the
Here's
keyboard.
Our error. So, most of the stuff is really self-correcting. I mean, it's like the iPod. The iPod software, most of the time, you can just reset to factory settings, and it'll solve most of your problems.
As long as you have a backup on your PC of everything, and then you can.
Well, if you haven't, then you're ignoring everybody's advice.
Right.
So.
No, that's fine.
So anyway, yeah, I mean, I've been very happy. So,
all right. Well, we come to the end of the show.
Again?
Again.
Well, it has been fun. Thank you for inviting me.
Sure. I mean, you need to do it more often. I mean, when you come to town,
I'll let you know.
You know, it's nice.
It is nice. I've forgotten how much fun this show is and talking to the people out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting because